I'm John Batchelor. I welcome my friend and colleague Elizabeth Peake, writes a column for The Hill, writes a column for Fox News, much on Fox Business, to put together the Straits of Hormuz, the energy markets, especially oil, and the American economy, all going in different directions. And yet, Liz, a very good evening to you. The events of these last days are very difficult to summarize because nothing's written down on paper. There's a lot of spinning going on in many languages, not the least of which is Iranian, Persian, the Farsi. However, it appears that the worst of the worst imaginable conflicts, either a nuclear weapon used or the people of Tehran terrorized by mass bombing, something like that, that's not present right now. What appears to be present is negotiation by diplomats flying back and forth between capitals, something we are familiar with over many years of Middle Eastern conflict. So the energy market, your measure of the energy market now, is it stabilizing, even at higher prices? Are we getting closer to certainty? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. I think that the expectation is that with all the to-ing and fro-ing that you're pointing out, there will be a deal reached. And the essence of that deal is opening up the Strait of Hormuz, removing the blockade that the U.S. has on Iranian shipments. And so basically oil begins to flow. And I think that's what we've seen in the last 72 hours, even though the deal was imminent and then it was not imminent. It was going to take several days, et cetera. I think the expectation is that both sides want some resolution. And you know, there have been reports of ships going through the Strait of Hormuz. Obviously, the attack last night on ships, Iranian vessels, supposedly laying mines, kind of makes you wonder if they're serious about that and who's in charge. That is an ongoing issue. But I think that people are kind of backing off the idea that this is Armageddon, that we're going to see $200 oil anytime soon. People don't think that's going to happen. For one thing, U.S. production continues to grow. Production in the Western Hemisphere generally is very strong and growing in places like Venezuela and Guyana and so forth. Not all of that potential offshore in those areas have come on stream, to be sure. But production is ramping up everywhere but the immediate area around the Gulf. And even there, increased pipeline flow has helped their the numbers coming out of the Gulf be better than I think people anticipated. So bottom line, the oil market always adjusts, John. We know this. Demand is down a little bit because the price has gone up. That happens every single time. And so, yeah, I think people are now thinking, okay, we've kind of peaked or it's close to the peak level. And over the next, over the balance of the year, it's probably going to go down. So what does that mean? That means that the cost push from higher energy prices, which is a real thing, has obviously impacted the CPI and the PPI indicators of inflation. Those will begin to come down. I was hearing one geopolitical analyst or economist yesterday on Bloomberg talking about how the next CPI reading for the month of May will probably show a tick up, but that'll be it. And then you'll begin to see inflation numbers come down. And that makes sense to me. I think if oil prices begin to recede, even as they are today, and that continues, you'll begin to see again, the sort of attendant effects of higher oil prices begin to wane. And so inflation, instead of 3.8, maybe gets down to 3.5 or even 3% by the end of the year, all of which bodes well for rates and for inflation expectations. One of the things that's happened that's alarming a little bit is that consumers are anticipating inflation, and that has all kinds of ramifications which are not very positive. But meanwhile, you know, the economy is doing pretty well.
As I rush to the attention of Mr. Warsh, the new chairman of the Federal Reserve, before the crisis of February 28th and afterwards, we thought that the percentages of Wall Street mavens who believe in a cut or two cuts the rest of the year could be charted. And now we have to introduce the possibility of the likelihood of a hike before the end of the year, because of what Liz just mentioned, inflation. Is that cautionary, Liz, or is it in the numbers already, this rise to 3.8?
Well, I think it's you've seen some gyrations in the market over the last two or three weeks, as investors pivoted, as you said, from pretty near certainty that we would have a declining rate environment under Kevin Warsh to now people saying, well, A, just as a lot of people, including the White House, have been saying forever, Kevin Warsh is a known inflation hawk. So it's really unlikely that he's going to lower rates if the CPI keeps by a substantial margin exceeding the level that the Fed has targeted. Now, Kevin Warsh also believes in a different model of inflation. So we're not quite sure how soon he will roll that out. One of the things I think that's not really been examined enough is Kevin Warsh's role as a reformer in the Fed. What does it mean? Well, one thing it means is he is not a proponent of the idea that growth is negative for inflation. I mean, that's something that the Keynesian model, I don't think, is necessarily his model, but he also isn't particularly fond of the way the government measures inflation. So we'll see how that works out. I would say at this point, yes, we went to a preponderance of people thinking that there were going to be rate hikes. My guess is we're in a sort of status quo. I suspect that particularly if there is a deal on the table that is signed and oil begins to flow, we are not going to see any great surge in expectations of a rate hike. What is to be gained from that? It isn't really going to have an impact on inflation. If oil is the major driver and it's not money supply, why would higher rates really be appropriate? I don't think it is.
Now, anecdotes, Liz. I'm surprised, but I report to you, the two places I watch very carefully are Orange County, California, and Lancaster County, Pennsylvania. Thanks, I have correspondents there, and I judge them a good measure of the K economy, the upper arm spending money, the lower arm being cautious, especially during the prices of gasoline. And the upper arm is doing very well, Liz, and that's the consumer class. The shopping continues. The tourism continues. Lancaster County is heavy with tourism. And the question was, were they going to show up this year because of the gasoline price, the fear of inflation, that sort of thing? Well, they're showing up. Even in the rain, they're showing up for the tours, the trains, the exhibits, the parks. Hershey has an amusement park. And in California, they, despite the price of gasoline, my goodness, they pay more than $6 in some places. The roads are filled with cars. People go about their business in the sunshine. They don't have the heat that London does, but they have heat. I don't hear a fear of the future, Liz, in the upper arm of the K economy. What do you hear in your parts of the world?
Well, that's definitely the case. I mean, you do have, obviously, the people who are on the lower end of the income spectrum are struggling. I mean, we've heard that for more than two years, really. And the higher costs of everything, including gasoline, are really impacting that group. But that isn't really the group that drives consumer spending. I mean, look at what companies have done well and what companies haven't. And I wish I had thought about this ahead of time, but right off the top of my head, Ralph Lauren had great sales recently. Walmart did not. I mean, Estee Lauder did very well. And I forget, I think Dollar General or one of the other big brand lower income stores did not. I mean, I think that's very valid that those, but I think it's the top 10% of income drives 70% of consumer spending. I mean, it's really skewed. And so it's not surprising to me that some of the companies that are reporting are still reporting pretty good numbers. It's obviously not sustainable. You want everybody to be doing well. Right now, because wages too have been going up at the higher end more than the lower end, real wages for the lower end of the income spectrum have actually been going down recently as we headed towards higher inflation. Hopefully that turns around. Today we had a better read on consumer sentiment. It came out while I was doing some work, so I haven't looked into the numbers, but that's very bullish. The University of Michigan is just persistently very negative, but this I think was the conference board, and they show that consumers really aren't terribly negative. And I think, John, if you begin to see gasoline prices come down, that positive element will even get stronger.
And so translate. The new Federal Reserve Board, much like the old Federal Reserve Board. Haven't I seen that guy sitting there in that chair before? Yeah, I think I have. His name.
Yeah.
Okay. They're going to take the bold stance of doing nothing. Is that a percentage that you can bet on Wall Street? No change?
I think that the bet still is maybe for a rate hike, but I don't believe it. I think that Warsh, why would he rock the boat if again, the only really major issue is oil prices and oil prices are looking to come down? And by the way, that's talking about the impact of oil from because of the Iran situation. You know, we could spend an hour talking about new oil field areas coming on stream, particularly Alaska and some others. It's not immediate, but it's definitely going to impact the price of oil long term. The United States and, again, some of the South American countries are just booming in terms of new exploration. So I think oil prices are really not the fear of the future. I'm sure we'll find that something else is.
The version then of Kevin Warsh is neither a hawk nor a dove. Although you say he has a hawkish reputation, he's now chairman. So it's a different world entirely. And I read very few alarm bells about him. I might be missing something, but he seems extremely well prepared for his job, maybe better prepared than any previous chairman I can recall.
Well, it certainly helps that he has served on the Federal Reserve. He's a very smart guy. I don't know if you know him. I mean, I really like him a lot. He's very thoughtful. And again, I think one of the things that people are not talking enough about is how he wants to reform the Fed. I mean, I think he looks at the mistakes made by the Fed, not just under Jay Powell, but under prior chairmen as well. And by the way, I thought it was interesting when he was sworn in that he referenced Alan Greenspan as sort of his mentor, never said a word about Jay Powell, which really doesn't surprise me, because I think most people feel Powell not only got it wrong with his whole assumption that inflation was transitory, but also became a political actor, which was really unfortunate. Anyway, I think Warsh is pretty determined to avoid those mistakes. And yeah, I think he's extremely well prepared for this job.
Time to talk politics. Elizabeth Peake of The Hill, a columnist of Fox News, a columnist much on Fox Business. When we come back, the midterms are already here. You don't have to wait. I'm John Batchelor.